Good morning, brethren. Turn in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. This message is so fitting for my own soul. In light of the fact that this week, in reading through the New Testament, I finished the book of Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, you see again and again this word hope. And ultimately, Hebrews is about a better hope that we have versus the old covenant. We have an abiding, perpetual hope in Jesus Christ. And so we happen upon this text today. Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read 10 verses, verses 10 through 19. But ultimately, we will be focusing in on verse 18. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Amen. Praise God for His Word. Let me read verse 18 again. This is where we will spend our time today. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. I believe the King James rendering is quite similar, except it says the path of the just, and then says shines more and more unto that perfect day. Well, amen. I want to do things a little bit differently this morning. I just want to walk through this text with you. I liken it to the flat, moving escalators at the airport, and you get on there with your luggage and it's a real help so you don't have to walk a mile across the airport, right? And so we're going to hop on the escalator this morning and we're just going to stroll down beside the path of the righteous. I want you to leave here with a fresh view of this passage, real understanding in it. So clearly, brethren, there's a path. And in the text that I read, there's not one path, but two paths. We're focusing on the one today. But I do want to say there are but two. You're on one or the other. In verse 19, the way of the wicked is mentioned. In verse 14, the path of the wicked is mentioned. It's clear. There's a path for wicked men to walk upon. And there's a path for righteous men to walk upon. So what does path mean? This is an illustration. So what does it mean? Well, the path is the way of man. It's the timeline of a man's life. It's the trajectory of his days. Simply, it is your life. You are either living as a righteous man today, born again of the Holy Spirit, or you are dead in your sins and living as a wicked or ungodly man. So that's the path. One of two paths. And really, verses 18 and 19 are together because it's such a striking contrast. Right? The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until perfection, full day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. Right? We think of the morning light and its noonday brightness in contrast to the way of the wicked, which is darkness and growing darkness. There is an eternal darkness that awaits the wicked, yet there is eternal light that awaits the righteous. Well, before we proceed further, let's get this clear. How is a man made righteous? How do I, being born on the path of the wicked, get on the path of the righteous? Well, it's rather simple. It's not through my own good deeds. It's through the righteousness of another. It is through the work of Jesus Christ that was both finished and perfect. You see, the righteous man doesn't merely stumble onto the path. Amen? He isn't there weaving through the woods and there it is. There's the path of the righteous and he's on it. He's placed there by God. I want you to see God's sovereignty as we look at this verse. Also, the righteous man didn't earn an entrance, but rather Jesus Christ paid his entrance fee to this path in full. So within the verse, now that we understand the path, I want you to see that there are three phases to this path. First, the light of dawn, what all refer to as dawning light. Second, this phrase shines brighter and brighter, what I'll refer to as infallible increase. And finally, until full day, which I'll refer to as the brightness of the full and perfect day. This verse ultimately illustrates the Christian life from beginning to end. From conversion to culmination in glory. It's quite a verse indeed. It was months ago, as I was reading through the book of Proverbs, that this verse struck me. And it just sunk deep into my soul. And many times over the past months, I'd say a couple dozen at least, I've thought about this. Maybe with some of you, I've shared it. But I think this verse has special significance and ultimately is full of hope and life to the believer. So let's look first at dawning light. Now again, this is an illustration. So if you can, I know most of us probably get up at times at least before the sun rises. But for those that don't, picture it in your mind the best you can, the break of dawn. What does dawning light represent? It represents a great beginning of things. It represents the new birth. It represents the man who is dead in his sins, who is now alive unto God and righteousness. Ephesians 5:8, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You see, this man has been awakened unto light and life, and he is in the Lord, Ephesians 5:8 says. And this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And yet the source of light is not the man on the path. The source of light is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. However you spell son, S-O-N-S-U-N, it is in reference to Jesus. John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's only a description, brethren, of the true disciple of God. We will have the light of life. And isn't that what Proverbs 4, King Solomon, isn't that what he's illustrating? We will walk in light. So we are not the light. Jesus Christ is the great light. But we do walk in it, and we do reflect it. We are to be lights in the world, Matthew 5. According to Luke chapter 1, Jesus Christ is the sunrise from on high. So think of this biblical language as you read Proverbs 4:18. Let it soak in, and again, picture the break of dawn. See the grace of God in this. We wake up morning by morning, the sun rises, dawn breaks, and maybe we don't consider the grace of God in that event. But we would if one morning we got up and the sun did not rise. It would be striking indeed, wouldn't it? But see the grace of God in Proverbs 4. The redeemed are transplanted from the path of the wicked to the path of the righteous. That is God's initiation. That is His doing. The redeemed are walking in the light because the sun has risen upon them. This is God's doing, His initiation. You see, if you know light at all, if you are treading upon the path of the righteous, it was all God's sovereign doing. What part did you play this morning in the rising of the sun? I reckon none at all. So feel God's initiation. Since your helplessness and inability in it all, it happened by the grace of God. He first loved us. We did not first love Him. Isaiah 9, chapter 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. It's glorious. This is a precious reality. The light of day has dawned, and a man has gone from being dead to the things of God to being alive and walking in the light. By all appearances, when we consider dawn's light, it seems to be an insignificant beginning in a way. The light is not shining in its brightness at 6:30 in the morning these days. It's there. It's noticeable. But it's rather insignificant. But rest assured, according to Proverbs 4:18, this here is the beginning of all beginnings. This is a certain and wonder-filled beginning indeed. I want you to consider the dimness of the early rays of light that shine. They have broken through the darkness, yes. But it appears as though there's a struggle of sorts taking place. It's often hard to discern what path a man is on at this stage in his new journey. You see, dawn and dusk look rather similar, don't they? It's helpful to have a clock and to see AM or PM. But if we had just been sleeping and come out of a room without any knowledge of what time it is, you might not know immediately if it was dawn or dusk. Which is it? Well, this is very similar to the operation of the Spirit of God, the grace of God in the soul of men. It's often hard to discern. Is that a true Christian? Is he on the path of the righteous? Or is God working, yet he remains on the path of the wicked? You see, the unconverted man, he will spoil the grace that he has been given. He will neglect such a great salvation. And the darkness of night will overtake him. We see that in verse 19. Yet the converted man finds himself planted on the path of the righteous, and he will come to know many increases of light and grace in his lifetime. It's a fact, brethren. It is a fact, and we see it in the daily movement of the sun. In dawn's early light, it appears doubtful that the light will gain victory. But nevertheless, it does, and it will. You see, the rays that shine at dawn appear feeble and faint. All the while, the sun is still climbing upward in the sky. Soon, you will see the beams in bright fullness. Adolphe Menard, I spent some time 2 weeks ago Sunday with the brethren speaking about the life of this French Protestant pastor. And he had written down this prayer in his journal. When has anyone seen Almighty God begin and not finish? Thou dost agitate only in order to calm. Thou shakest only in order to establish. In these early moments, the newly converted man, now on the path of the righteous, he may not know exactly what is taking place. He may see the light, and by appearance it is insignificant. But here, God has begun something great. And that is truth. In Philippians 1:6, the Apostle Paul says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ." He says, "I am sure of this," not of just himself, but of all that are on the path of the righteous. This is a certain and extraordinary beginning. And I want you to walk away today trusting in this promise, just as you daily trust and look for the rising of the sun. It will be so. Now, infallible increase of light. We're to the second phase. Dawn's early light has shone in the sky, and yet it does not stand still. But we read of a time in the Scriptures, Joshua 10, where the sun did stand still in the sky. I'm not going to pretend to understand what God did to make that happen. Nevertheless, it's the Word of God. It is true. Setting that instant aside, the sun progressively rises morning by morning in the sky. Does it not? There is an infallible, unerring increase of light day after day after day. It's a fact. It happens. It's the grace of God. He upholds the world by the word of His power. He does it. But so does He do this work in the righteous ones. You see, as the morning progresses, the sun's movement is climbing higher and higher. It doesn't stop with the dawning light. Progress will be made. Progress must be made. Job 17, verse 9. "Yet the righteous holds to his way, and he who has clean hands grows stronger and stronger," just like the rising of the sun. From conversion to culmination, God is at work in us and through us, and we are working as well, shining brighter and brighter. This becomes the path of the righteous, and more do the righteous ones reflect the brightness of the glory of Jesus Christ. God has multiplied His means of sanctifying His children, and essentially that's what the growing brightness represents. God has saved us. We have that new reality of conversion, the new birth. But He does not leave us there. He is working in us conformity to Jesus Christ. It's the unbroken chain that we see in Romans chapter 8. Those whom He called, He also justified. Those whom He justified, He'll glorify. It's unbreakable. It's a reality. It's sure. And just as that reality is sure, so the sun rises in the sky. Morning after morning after morning. See it, brethren. As one is a reality, so is the other. And it's all that He might conform us to the image of His Son and be glorified in us. Trophies of grace, Ephesians chapter 2. So as the light is shining brighter and brighter, the righteous see more and more clearly because of the light. And again, you see the contrast there with those on the path of the wicked. It's only increasing darkness. They don't even know what they stumble over. They sin. There's consequences. They have no understanding. But we are on the path with growing light. Grace abounds more and more in the soul of the righteous ones on this path. Here's the process. And it happens in a variety of ways. Privately, corporately, through means of grace, through various trials. But God regularly supplies fresh grace. We labor in His strength. God gives increase. And it's again and again and again, day after day after day. Remember the picture in Pilgrim's Progress, brethren. There behind the wall, Satan, dump in the water. He'd extinguish the flames, yes? But there on the other side, there is Jesus pouring the oil on the flames. They are not extinguishable by the grace of God. This is much like Jesus' description in Mark chapter 4 of the growth of the seed. It is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. It's the sovereign work of God in the souls of His people. It's a reality. It's grace. And we want to embrace that reality. There is a grand truth of God's sovereignty in sanctifying His dear ones. Yet we must never be guilty of using such truth to produce inactivity. We are on a pilgrimage, brethren. We are running a race. We are striving. We are sweating. We are walking through this world. And all the while, God is at work, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. So whatever work it is, parenting, serving, evangelism, prayer, showing brotherly affection, whatever it is our work. Yet we look to God for both the grace and the increase. The Apostle Paul illustrates this in his two letters to the church at Thessalonica. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul commends the church there for their work of faith and labor of love. And then, funny enough, in the English translation, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, Paul says this of the church, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." He commended them in his first letter, and now he commends them for increase in a second letter at a later time. What a reality! This is a fact in the life of the believer. In the morning's light, the righteous man knows some measure of fruitfulness. But as the day progresses, so does his fruitfulness and maturity. Now we have said to one another, I've heard Brother Max say, how long does it take to grow a squash plant? I have no idea why he uses a squash plant. But it's a matter of months. How long does it take to grow an oak tree? He says. That's a matter of 20 years or 50 years. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In a sense, I want to take a detour now. Maybe some of you have already had a question that has come to your mind. And so I want to speak to you for a moment about clouds. See, we're looking at the sun and its progress in the sky. Yet there is another reality in the heavens, and it's clouds that obscure the beams of the sun. Storm clouds do come to all who walk on the path of the righteous. It's a fact. Sometimes these clouds are in the shape of consequences for sin, and these can be fierce clouds that chasten the righteous man. You see, though the righteous grow day by day, month by month, the righteous sin day by day, month by month. Sometimes these are dark and gloomy clouds that take the shape of affliction or loss or trials. These tend to linger at times, but nevertheless are temporary. I think of Thomas Watson, a lovely quote, "Affliction may be lasting, but it is not everlasting." And that is true. Even these dark and gloomy clouds will pass. You don't read many pages in the Scriptures before seeing clouds come over the lives of some very special believers. Think of Noah, or Lot, or Abraham, or Jacob, or Moses. We even see a mighty eclipse of the sun in the life of David or the Apostle Peter, do we not? Yet clouds come and go. They accumulate and then dissipate. They are temporary, but never random. We must not lose sight of this reality and go into some erroneous thinking that God has somehow forsaken the righteous when clouds come or even when they eclipse the sun. The same omnipotent one that causes the sun to shine day after day after day also sovereignly rules over every cloud in the sky. The clouds, brethren, are God's servants. They are sent forth to test and to try His dear ones. And hasn't it been your experience? After a period of gloomy, cloudy darkness, that when the clouds begin to disperse, and when the sun's rays break through those clouds, that the sunlight seems much brighter than you remembered? That is true. Is God able, brethren, in what looks like a period of decline or even retreat, to yet make progress in the life of a believer? Yes, He is. And so He does. You see, the light from dawn's early light to fullness of day is ever increasing. If the clouds come, and they do, they will, know this, it is for your benefit, believer. And thus, ought we not, in a sense, to embrace the clouds God sends our way? Ought we not to rejoice in temporary, gloomy darkness? Can't we do so in anticipation of the bright day that is coming? William Arnott, a Scottish minister, he wrote this, "The machinery of the everlasting covenant is meantime going, softly and silently, as the motion of the planets. And they that are Christ's here, whatever clouds may dim their present prospect, are moving every moment further from the darkness and nearer to the day." That's a reality, brethren. Even when it doesn't look like it, it's a reality. Even when we look to the heavens and all we see is gloomy gray clouds, the sun is there. What a day that will be. There is a hymn, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. So we come to the third phase of the journey. The bright light of the perfect or full day. I kind of like the King James rendering here. I can't help it. It is a perfect day. Yeah, it's a full day, but it's a perfect day. Full day, perfect day, bright noonday sun. It's the zenith there, shining its brightness, brightest. The very moment, get this, the very moment dawn's light broke in the soul of a man, he is guaranteed and assured that he will see this day. God will finish what He begun. His destination is certain. Psalm 84, verse 7. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Be assured of your destination, Christian. Be assured of your destination, ungodly ones. The final phase in Proverbs 4:18, it's not an end. Ultimately, brethren, it's a new beginning. All life long, the righteous walk in brighter and brighter light. And now, Matthew 13:43, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Corruption is no more, and the garment of incorruption has been put on. Mortality is buried in the ground, and immortality is the unchanging reality. The God of all grace did bear us on eagle's wings from beginning to end. He's now carried the righteous one to His eternal home. Here, the Son, the Lamb, the glory of Emmanuel's land that we sang about earlier. He is the light of the city, Revelation 21:23. He is the delight of the city. And He has prepared a place for every righteous one. Finally, fully, the righteous shall know Him as He is known. They shall see Him as He is. We will have in that day unbroken communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious day. No more sin. No more sorrow. No more pain. Death is passed away. Darkness is fled forevermore. What a day. All the toils, all the trials of this life, they will instantly in that day become utterly insignificant because the Lamb is in your view. In that perfect day, the righteous lay down staff and sword. The journey is complete. The battle is forever done. Purity only prevails. Nothing more can taint the waters. You see, reaching the final destination, there the righteous will eat the bread of peace. They will drink from the cup fullness of joy. They will sit on the rock rest. They will cease from their labors, for God has brought them to Himself. This is the reality for everyone on the path of the righteous. Oh, brethren, think often of this day. It can be difficult, I know. But nevertheless, persevere in looking to that day where the sun shines in all of its brightness. The eternal day, it will be the eternal dwelling place of all the redeemed ones. We will reach home at last. Here, we are pilgrims. Here, we struggle and journey on. But we are marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Brethren, let this take root in your soul. Here is a holy longing. Here is a sure reality. Here is words of hope. Who here will forsake their sin and trust in Jesus Christ alone? Who will come to the Son that they might have light and life and true freedom? Who will flee the present darkness and cling to the One who shines forevermore? Come to Jesus Christ. Come and join me on this path, the path of the righteous. Let us reach the city of God together. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen.